Thank you so very much, and I do feel I'm at home here in the South. If the Lord hadn't led us back north, we'd still be here. But it's not my will, but thine be done. And we just loved it here in the South, and we loved the people here. It's a real privilege to be among you today, and I just feel right at home, too, and on the subject I love, planting churches. And everything we've been listening to is just up our alley. We just like that. I just want you to turn to a few scriptures. First one is the what usually called the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Just to remind us of what the Lord commanded he gave to his own before he went back to glory. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, and sometimes we forget that, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Mark chapter 1. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And there's a verse in Mark 5 and verse 19, the verse God used to call me to go back into Prince Alan. I was on the edge of the Sahara Desert, laying on the mosquito net in 1943. And that verse just stood out to me in bold print. Verse 19, beginning in the middle of the verse, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had had compassion on thee. Go home. And you know that in that instant it follows the same pattern as Acts 1:8, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In the parallel account in Luke, he's to go home to his house and show them. Here he's to go to his friends and tell them. In Luke, he publishes it throughout the city. Here he publishes out throughout the capital, the province. So there you have the four stages again. Now the Lord, in 1946, I'm saying a few things here I hadn't planned to say, but I had an opportunity to go home after laboring a summer among the Jewish people up outside Buffalo and Ontario, side Crystal Beach, and I got home for 3 weeks. And that week I got home on Friday, they were having a meeting in the United Church of Canada that week of supposed to be evangelistic meetings. So I went, and the minister, because he thought I was a ministerial student, I'd been 1 year the mayor at that time, he had me come up on the platform and read the scriptures and pray. So I said, is it all right if I say a little word? So he said, yes. So I gave a testimony, and that put fire to the old evangelist that was there. And on Sunday, I was home to supper with them at the manse, and I said, it's a shame to stop these meetings now. The people are just getting interested. Oh, he said, Dr. McKenzie can't stay any longer, and we have no one else to preach. Well, I said, I'll preach. So he announced the meetings for Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Didn't want to conflict with the Baptists on Tuesday night. And then those 4 nights, the crowds more than doubled. I never saw such conviction or sin in my life. And I think about 15 people stood up and professed to be saved. That's the message the old evangelist said the last night. If anyone accept the Lord, stand up in your seat. So I followed the same pattern. And some of the people I drank and danced with and so on got saved that time. That's how we come to go back to P.I. to find Ian. I had no idea we'd ever be leaving there when we went home there for a visit. Now, we are converts, but when we went back, we didn't go back into the church. We didn't want to cause a split. We then went to the schoolhouse. But I want to read, I read this portion here first because I believe in the greatest method in pioneer work is first the great burden of souls or the burden for prayer. In Isaiah 66 verse 8, when Zion travailed, she brought forth children. I believe that's the great necessity. When Zion travailed, she brought forth children. And in Isaiah 23 and verse 4, it says there, I travail not, nor bring forth children. Neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. I travail not. And I think that's the big distinction. If those of us that on the Lord's work, people going out into the pioneer work, there must be that what the Lord Jesus did. He went up into a mountain alone and he prayed. He was travailing, spent all night in prayer. And I believe that's the greatest foundation and the greatest preparation. And then there needs to be a real gospel heart and a heart for souls to be saved. I don't care what methods you use. These are the foundational things that's absolutely necessary to fruitful service. Real intercession, prayer, and a heart that longs to see souls get saved. 14 times it said of the Lord Jesus, he was moved with compassion. And brethren, that's the thing we need more than anything else, the real compassion. And I think in that kind of state, nearly any kind of method will work. Because the blessing and the power of the Lord will be with it. I'll just give you a few suggestions, I think, according to some of the areas that Brother Jim was talking about. I'm out of date. But some of the areas we work in, it still works. So it's a different cultures and different areas and different needs. And I'll suggest some of the things that we have used throughout our life. I believe this burden, of course, has to come from the Lord when it comes to planting churches and pioneer work. Somebody told me first that I was we're pioneer workers. I didn't know it. We were just doing what the Lord told us to do, that's all. We had no idea we were supposed to be pioneer workers. And I've enjoyed what's been said today. I must really say so. Now, the first thing I listed that never is out of date, and I was glad to hear Brother Bob mention that they use it there, door-to-door visitation work. One of the things that confirmed us going to Orlando, Florida, back in 1961, I prayed that night, Lord, if it's your will for me to go to Orlando, today lead me to a woman, or lead me to a person I can lead to Christ. And that day, going from door to door, I had the joy of leading a Mrs. Kilgore to the Lord Jesus. It's hard work going from door to door. But eventually, you're here and there, you meet them and you contact them. When we went to Orlando, we did a great amount of many new neighborhoods, and that's ideal. And the work grew very quickly. But it's mainly from that personal contact. And of course, if you have a place to invite them to, like a chapel, then you have a wonderful beginning, have a good, attractive bulletin with direction on how to find the meeting, and then telling about the assembly and the so on, and gospel literature. All that helps. We found that to be very, very useful. But it's not always easy. I remember when we went to Orlando, it was the first time, it was in March. I can't tell you the temperature. When we left Halifax that morning, it was zero, it was blowing snow. And we landed in Orlando. Bob Willie met us. It was 80 degrees. It was quite a contrast. And some days we got out there in the sun, knocking doors, and I'm sure it was 90 or 95 in the shade. And we're not used to that hot weather, but the Lord blessed in spite of it. The other method we have used found helpful is the radio. Now today, of course, television is probably more effective, but we have used the radio when we first started the work up in Charlottetown, and not only made contacts that way, but we had the joy of having people. One lady came right into my little study and accepted the Lord right on her knees in my study because she heard the gospel broadcast. It made contacts, and you can follow them up. That's so important. Any contact you have is much better than cold turkey. Any lead we have. Another, we found a very effective, neutral way to get into a community where there's no assembly or no testimony, it's a vacation Bible school. Now that takes a lot of work. We used to have Emmaus teams come down and work with us and would go into a community, and our brother Bill Geigerman is with us here from Bear Lake today, but that's how we started that work there at Bear Lake. That's just north of Orlando. We got a school building and several classrooms and covered the whole community door to door with invitations wherever possible. Talk to the people. I'll tell you something about that. If you show a real interest in the children, parents respond to that. They appreciate it. You go into home and visit people, make a lot of their kids. They like that. And it softens their hearts. But it takes a lot of work in publicity, music, teaching, song leading, registration, handicraft, refreshments, and so on. The better the staff you have, the better your school. But I tell you, you want to go all out because the parents really appreciate it. And all right from the beginning, if you plan a good closing night program, that's what we did at Bear Lake, and we got quite a few adults. And then following that, the Cape Bible School, we announced Sunday School. That seems to be a logical and a practical way to start. Now, every area is different. What I'm talking about mainly, like when we went out into the work and into pioneer work, it was going right out where there was nothing. There was no believers you could gather together, as good as that is. But there's nothing like that. You go up there and get the souls saved, and then gather those souls to stay together and get them baptized and teach them all things what the Bible commanded you. Pioneer work is work. That type of work. We went into areas where we had to get an old building, an old church building, standing in the woods. The sheep were using it for shelter. Cleared the land and fixed the building and went around then to visit all the people. And that's how the first assembly in Prince Edward Island, up in Gospel Chapel, my home community. You get up to preach. At that time there was no running water. You get up, you had to lit the stoves and lit the lamps, the gas lamps. You get up with dirty hands and clean as a dry rag, as long as we clean them. But well, that part of work, but we found the Sunday school a very, very fine way. That's how we started up there with the Sunday school. Started out a day late with the Sunday school. And the Sunday school, as you know, should be very well organized. It should be very evangelistic. We should always be seeking to reach out to get new children. And as they come and you follow them up and their parents, pretty soon you have what you call a family Bible hour. That's how it turned out up there in Upton, and I think it's the same at Bear Lake. And then after a while, as they were being taught in Bible studies, then the assembly developed. But to me, a Sunday school is an excellent way of getting into a new place. And vacation Bible school, those two go together. And then at one home, when you go into a new area, it's always good to get a home that has a large living room in it, or a basement. Remember when we moved to Halifax, Nova Scotia, we got a house right across from a school. And we had children meetings in our basement. It was a large basement. We had up to 100 children down there, but it made contacts. One of those boys that came to those meetings is a doctor down in Halifax. And the time I had to fly home to get I had a detached retina. He came to visit me in the hospital in Halifax. And I had laid blindfolded for 2 weeks. But he bought me the Bible on cassette by Alexander Scorby. And that was such a blessing. When he saw it was such a blessing to me, he gave me the whole New Testament. Some of the fruits of your labor, even work among children, later on you'll see that fruit. And some of these young people are reached for the Lord. So I think it's a very, very good approach, the children's meeting in your home, and Bible study in your home. That's how we started in Charlottetown, in Pennsylvania Island. We started a Bible study in a Christian's home. And here I might suggest how we made some contact. We got a public building and showed a couple of Billy Graham films. They were well known up there. And at that time, there were real gospel films. And we made contacts in showing those films, and we took down their names and their addresses. John and Ruth Ashley were among them, Jim knows them well, and some of Bayview Shaw, and some of those folks came in, and we followed those people up, and then gathered them together for Bible study in the home. And from that then came later on formation of an assembly. These are different approaches to reach people. The gospel, we came on the gospel booth at a fair. I think that still can be done. And we made some wonderful contacts there. Hal Ellis, Jim Starnoff, and well, one of the elders up there now, was contacted there. Claus Lewis, another big family that's been a real strength to that assembly. Other folks have been contacted to a gospel booth. It's most encouraging, and you see things happening like that. Open air work now is not too effective probably in most places anymore, but we use that in a place called Monique, and along with the Caton Bible School. And eventually a group will gather together there, Stand Straight was largely involved there too. But out of that came the Monique Bible Chapel. So there's so many excellent ways we can get into places and seek to be used of the Lord. There's many other suggestions too, such as telephone ministry. I've never done that, but I know people that have. It's a very, very good way to have folks to phone in. Counseling service. If you're a good counselor, I believe Brother Geichelman has taken that up to that way meet people and witness to them through counseling them. Kindergarten, another excellent way, in your home. My daughter-in-law has a kindergarten at home, and it's a very, very fine way to reach new people. But I think with all these things before us, and I don't know if I've left, as many maybe I've left out, but I think the challenge today is that we don't learn all about fishing and then not fish. It'd be so wonderful, you know, many times it seems that young men sometimes have a great desire to serve the Lord and to get educated, Bible education, and then go and sort of just be placed where they can share their great knowledge. But oh, how we need young men that will have a burden. It's grand to hear about some of these brethren that have a desire and get out there. Every area is so different. I mentioned this morning, too, that one group that just been recently started in Prince Edward Island, two of some families living far away. And something I wanted to mention with that. All those fellas that were, we started with out there, there wasn't one of them ever opened their mouth in the large assembly. You should hear them now. It's just wonderful to see how their gift has developed. People that were shy and didn't think they could take part. Tremendous. And that's one time the advantage. If in a real large work you haven't got things whereby to develop people, it's a wonderful thing then, this does develop people. And then there's another advantage too, sometimes you start a new assembly to use some of the gifts from other assemblies that are established, get out and help in those areas to preach and teach the word. Give them a good opportunity. But I want that we might hear the word of the Lord Jesus, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then when you get them together, teaching them. And that doesn't happen overnight. So every area is different. When we came here to Augusta in 1973, we'd been 12 years in Orlando. I want to just give a little testimony to that too. Brother Bill King, I was very pleased with what he said there. But humanly speaking, I really wonder. At that time, there was just Dan Hollingsworth and Bernie O'Neill family. Remember Dan and the three families to start the work here. And at Orlando, things were very, very good at that time. I believe still is. I'll be going there from here. We just done wall-to-wall carpet in our house, and my wife said, "You wait, now the Lord's going to move us." And he did. And we came here with those two other families to start with. And I really wondered, the natural part, and how are we going to live? We started to break bread on September the 9th in a little child evangelism house, right up here in Lumpkin Road. And at Christmas time, we had our own building, and we were in it for the Christmas program. Bought a renovated army chapel and cleaned it up and fixed it up, and the Lord blessed the work. But it was marvelous to see how the Lord worked. And you know, that was the first year I ever had to pay a little income tax. And we had to raise $6,000, that little group to start with, to have a down payment to build the building. Is God able? That's what I say, brethren. Doesn't matter too much what method you use. If we have the power of the Lord and His presence and His presence, it'll all be blessed with it. Thank you.
In an assembly that knew very little about outreach. Had a lot of strengths, but that was one of its weaknesses. And I was afraid of people who weren't Christians in terms of social contact with them. I didn't really know how to interact with people. I felt very safe and very secure in my little church fellowship. Anybody relate to that here? That's how I felt. Just recently, the Lord had guided our assembly to start an evangelism explosion ministry. We're in our fourth semester now. And ever since that ministry began, it has caused me to act like an insurance salesman. Everybody I look at, I think of as a potential contact, you know. And that's been the best thing for me. Because I begin now to look at people with the eyes of a fisherman, an evangelist, someone that I can potentially have the opportunity of sharing Christ with. And I think we have got to begin to get that vision. Right here at the conference, how many of us, when we go out to lunch, think about the people that come and wait on us as potential people to share Christ with? Let's be honest, brethren. We need to regain that burden and that concern. We need to begin to look at people and see them as those that need Christ. And I guess the EE program has been a blessing to me because it's kind of forced me into that mindset. And everybody that comes to the chapel, I'm thinking about them, I'm thinking about their neighbors, I'm thinking about any way that I can establish some meaningful contact with them to share Christ. And all of that takes, what? Work. It's work. And without a burden, then the work becomes burdensome. And I appreciate what Rob said this morning. He talked about, well, he didn't really say it, but he was saying it, and that is that the work of evangelism can be so creative. You know, and Sven just shared just a number of ideas of how we can reach people, but there are so many others, like No Excuse Sunday. Never heard of that before, but that's a pretty good one, you know? You know, and to get people to sit down across from you at a meal at the chapel, like, you know, they're not inclined to leave, and you get a chance to talk with them. We need to think that way a whole lot more than we do. Panel members, would you like to add any other methods that you have found to be helpful in your area? I think the other thing we're going to realize is every area is different. What works in Kansas isn't going to work in New England. And I think there's all sorts of room for creativity here. And I would just like that any of the other panel members wanting to just mention some that's been working. Stand up, Rob, if you're going to just...
Well, we do use... We do use door-to-door. We try to go into about 1,000 homes around the assembly. We think that's our neighborhood. So whenever a new family moves in, we try to have something for them at the door. Every year we print calendars with has a beautiful picture, scripture verses, the name of the assembly, and we make sure that every family gets one of those. We've used the book The Next Move. We've used God's Answers to Man's Questions. We think of a reason to try to go to those 1,000 houses at least 6 times a year. And so we just go on a regular basis and
knock on the door, hand these things.
Yeah, introduce ourselves, and sometimes our kids go with us. Sometimes it's mom and dad. But it's enjoyable. And
you mean they don't think you're Jehovah's Witnesses?
No, you know, we make sure that we don't wear a white shirt. but you know, we normally say, you know, we're from Sunrise, and they get enough things. We have a logo that we use, and So the minute they see the logo, they know where we're from, and we try to let them think that we're friendly people. We encourage people in the assembly, if they're looking for a place to live, they might as well move into that neighborhood.
Another thing about Sven Christensen that I appreciate, and I think we all do, he knows how to smile, doesn't he? You know, is it any wonder he's been a soul winner? I mean, it's so easy to understand. He smiles warmly. He really loves people. He even loves children, I believe. Now, we have here in this audience a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experiences, and there is all sorts of ways of reaching people. Maybe your assembly is doing something that's working, or maybe you have heard about a method that's working. And I would like us to just take time to think about that a little bit and have some of the men here that are doing something for God or are hearing about what's being done share their experiences. Brothers, anyone at all that has something that's working? Yeah.
I'd like to ask Rob, this money matter come up once in a while. What scripture did you use? What method? Did you send out a monthly thing telling how many thousand you needed, or a church or somebody? What did you do on that?
Well, we meet weekly to pray in the oversight, and so we do tell the Lord how much we need.
And
no, we can't afford the postage to do that. But the Lord has been gracious, and that's not to say that we've not had a, you know, it's driven us to our knees. But you know, this is the third building, and by the grace of God, we're looking for another building, and it's thrilling because every time God has had to work a miracle, and every time it's been in a different way. So, you know, every once in a while we think we are money limited, but we're not. I think we're effort limited, not money limited, because I really think that God has a way somehow to supply the money when the timing is right and when He's pleased with the work.
It's being used right, huh?
Let's try to confine our questions to the area of evangelism in our discussion.